This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Hi, everybody. Welcome along to Down the Line, the football podcast on the RNIB Connect Radio Network. I am your host, Neil Atkinson, as usual, from the Community Connection team up in Scotland. And yeah, not as usual, though, for this episode. We have something slightly different. So we are not going to be taking a look back at the fixtures and results from the Premier League and across the various English leagues and the Scottish Premiership from the weekend, or looking ahead to this weekend's fixtures at all. We're actually going to be taking a little bit of a deeper dive into an individual story, and an individual who you'll be well familiar with from previous podcasts. And yeah, this person obviously has quite a lot of experience of following and supporting football, attending live matches and watching over the TV, whatever it might be, obviously as a visually impaired blind football fan. So it should be really interesting to hear from this individual and yeah, hear what their stories and experiences like of being a blind football fan. So first of all, Macker, I'm going to bring you in. People will be familiar with your voice already. Would you like to just give your quick introduction, who you are, where you're from, and a little oversight of what your visual impairment is?
Yeah, hi everyone. So I'm Carl, otherwise known as Macker, and I'm from County Durham in the northeast of England. I'm totally blind. I'm a volunteer for RNIB Scotland. I am a season ticket holder at Sunderland and at Hibernian, and I also attend their away matches, and I attend Scotland international home games as well.
Do you want to just give an idea of how you, I guess, experience football? You've mentioned there about attending live matches. How often do you attend live matches? Do you also watch games on the TV or listen on the radio? What's the kind of what's your experience of enjoying football?
How often do I attend live matches? Well, sometimes once, twice, sometimes three times a week, depending on the way the fixtures fall. As at time of recording, I've been to 36 games this season. I got to 77 last year, and you know, we're just coming to halfway through Sunderland season, and you know, we're just in the Christmas period, so a lot of games to go, and I'm hoping to beat that 77 this time. And I also listen to matches on the radio when I'm not at the games or whatever.
Brilliant. It would be fascinating to know if anybody listens, or anybody knows, any listeners to this know anybody who travels anywhere near as much as that with a visual impairment, because I don't know any football fan with a visual who travels kind of home and away as much as you do to attend live matches. Obviously it's a huge commitment for loads of reasons, but bearing in mind the challenges that come with being a blind or partially sighted football fan, it's quite a remarkable journey that you make up and down England and Scotland on a weekly basis. So yeah, well done to you for the commitment that you show for supporting Hibs in Sunderland and Scotland. So on those kind of long journeys that you make, or stadiums that you see, there's anything from the Premier League to, I should imagine, some very small community clubs that you've been to up in Scotland as well, following Hibs maybe in a Scottish Cup, or when they were down the league, whenever it might have been. What's the kind of biggest challenges that you faced as a blind football fan? Is there any challenges that come up on a weekly basis that you need to navigate? Is there anything that challenged you when you first started attending live matches, but actually you've got some methods and tips that you can then overcome those challenges?
I would say, and I know this might sound silly, but I would say staying calm. You've got to stay calm, because it you know, supporting two teams in two different countries and having no sight not just affects me, but it affects everybody that's around me, because I'm constantly thinking maybe one, two, three steps ahead. And people are like, well, why are you even thinking about that game? That game's in February. It's not even January yet. But you've got to, as a blind person, you've got to think ahead. And, you know, the normal questions that go through my head is, right, the game is such and such. Where am I going to be? How am I getting there? Who am I going with? Is anyone going with me? Okay, if not, right, I need to contact the club that we're playing and ask them to help. What's my normal experiences like with the club? So there's all sorts go through, you know. Then you think you travel, right? Okay, if I'm not going with anyone, am I getting the train, taxi from the train, and then a taxi back to the train station, and then a taxi home when I get off the train when I get back to Durham, whether it be, you know, from Sunderland or Hibs, the game's really irrelevant. It's just, you know, you have to arrange things. And ultimately, as well as myself, I get a lot of support, and you know, I think it's fair to really sort of to mention that as well, and to say, well, you've got to rely on other people in their lives as well and stuff. And it's scary because you have to sort of keep it, you have to keep a mental timetable in your head. Right, I'm here on this place, and if somebody asks you to do something or go somewhere, you've got to think, right, hang on, I've arranged this, I'm actually going to match, or, you know. And then when it comes to midweek, you've got to try and think, right, I'm not going to be able to get back home after this game, so I need to stay in a hotel. Now, is the hotel accessible, friendly? Or would the staff help me? Do I know anyone that's had any experience of staying in that particular hotel? So there's all sorts going on before you even get to the game.
It's a remarkable journey, and so many hurdles, small hurdles that, yeah, there's probably 1,000 small hurdles rather than one or two massive hurdles, which is quite time consuming. And I'm sure everybody listening who has a visual impairment and even are trying to organise a pub lunch with their friends and family understand those kind of small hurdles that you need to overcome on a regular basis about public transport, about if you're going out for a meal, is it seeing the menu? Is it what kind of menu can you get? Is it an online digital menu that you can get with a screen reader? All these small hurdles that people face every day, you take that on a scale of travelling to a football match and you're experiencing those constantly 2, 3, 4 times a week. It takes up a lot of brain power, a lot of energy that I'm sure people can empathise with. And even if they don't attend live matches, they can understand that. But I think what's pretty cool about you saying that is that you clearly take like ownership over the kind of responsibility and the arrangements that you make when travelling to football, because you're not relying on everybody to do everything for you. You understand that, yes, people are there to help you, but actually, you know, you need to take ownership and make these arrangements as much as you possibly can so that it's easy for people to then support you as much as they can. And you're absolutely right, because you can't do it on your own absolutely entirely from start to finish. Even if you can do most of it on your own, there's going to be points where you do, certainly particularly when you're attending live matches and it's busy and it's chaotic and there's public transport and there's train cancellations and there's ticket barriers and all this different elements that throw up challenges, you can lean on people for support, which is a challenge but also a real positive about football and sport in general, is that there's always going to be people around you that are friendly and supportive, which you're absolutely right to call out.
I've lost count of the number of people I've met around the country and I'm now currently in touch with through football. Like when we play certain clubs, you know, I know that I know people that support that club. So if I'm struggling for help, they can help me. I mean, you're right, you can't really do it on your own. But I suppose myself and my girlfriend took that rule in our own hands, because Scotland played Portugal recently in a qualifier. And we had no one to go to the game with. And like, it was my girlfriend's first Scotland game, and obviously, she's blind as well, and I didn't really want to let her down. So I thought, do you know what? We're going to do it. And we went on our own. So, and that's to like a 60,000 Hampden Park. So that was, it was really encouraging. And we got help along the way, but a lot of it we've done on our own. So,
you can do it. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Yeah, no, it's absolutely possible to do it on your own. And it's just it's having those pre-arrangements and organisation in place that makes that journey a lot easier. I'm sure you would attest to that. So just kind of on that, in terms of positive experiences, what kind of major positive experiences have you had? I know you followed Scotland at the Euros and you had some positive experiences over the summer there when, you know, you're watching games from Scotland in various locations across Scotland. But I'm thinking even Hibs and Sunderland matches. What are the kind of, have you got any highlights that go, wow, that was such a great experience that even, you know, potentially people without a visual impairment wouldn't have actually experienced that kind of helpfulness or support from a regular punter attending the match or a steward or a member of staff?
I think with regards to Scotland and the Euros, I think attending the fan parks, that was brilliant. And I found the fan parks to be very accommodating and helpful in Dundee and Dunfermline. So I thought that was encouraging. I think following Sunderland and Hibs every week, there's been too many positive experiences to really, really mention. I just think you get more positive than you do negative. And I think it helps. I think the way I'm lucky is that it helps having no sight, but supporting two teams in two different countries. So I'm kind of well known. That helps a lot. And it gives me the confidence to know that there's always someone along the line that's going to know me, that'll help me. I think it's amazing. I think, you know, it would be unfair to just name it a particular club and tell and explain and say, you know, it was this club, it was that club, because the majority of the clubs are amazing. As I said, I can put my finger on more positive experiences than I can negative.
Brilliant. That's a great message to spread, because I think football is quite a daunting environment for people to step into. Might have been a football fan for 50 years, but the idea of even stepping foot into a football stadium, even if it's a small one with 500 or 1,000 people, might cause people to have a lot of anxiety and maybe never think that that is actually achievable to get out with the visual impairment that they have and with the challenges that they face. Attending matches might seem a reach. Do you have any messages for people who would, you know, likely struggle in those situations, that you can say as a visually impaired football fan that that you have experienced that yeah, it is achievable?
I know it's hard because you're going to be coming out of your comfort zone, but to any visually impaired people listening, I would suggest, if there's something, not necessarily just football related, but in general, if there's something you want to do, just you go out and do it, and don't let nothing hold you back. And I know it's easy for me to say, because me and my brother, we were both born totally blind, so we've never had sight, so we've never really been, you know, we've never really been fearful, if for want of a better word. We've just sort of gone for it. But, and so I get it's different, especially to those who have maybe lost their sight and are sort of trying to cope with all of that, as well as trying to lead a normal, well, what you would call normal life. So, yeah, I would encourage anyone to get themselves out there and just do what you want to do, basically. And, you know, I just don't think twice wherever, you know, especially like, say, Sunderland are in London one day and Ipswich are the Aberdeen the next. I don't think twice about, right, I'm thinking, right, okay, the logistics, how am I getting from there to there? That's the first thing I do. I just think, right, okay, book trains, match tickets, off you go, you know?
Yep.
So you've got to, though, because if you were just sort of sitting there worrying about what might happen and stuff, you probably wouldn't go. So you've just got to get on with that.
I'm sure people will be encouraged to hear that, the story of you travelling around and yeah, you know, you're confident and you're well experienced in public transport and attending live football matches. But yeah, just to know that first step isn't impossible, and going down to a local football club or theatre or whatever it is that you're interested in going to and you have, you know, reservations about it because of accessibility, then actually, yeah, taking that first step is so important, and obviously you just grow in confidence from there, and people are always there to support.
I think it helps them. Clubs are more disability aware these days, I feel. I think that even if you got someone that's helping you, there's always a member of staff normally at club saying, oh, do you need any help? Do you want this? Do you want that? Do you want to sit here? Mm-hmm. You know, do you not want to go up the steps? And I think while some of them questions are a bit frustrating, because you're thinking, well, I'm blind, but I can't actually go upstairs. So I don't want to sit at the front. Some people might want to sit at the front and stuff. So the option is there. And I just think that staff, whether it be through COVID but I think the world has just become a bit more of an understanding place than it was before COVID.
Yeah, do you actually, from your time following football over the last few years, have you seen an improvement in club accessibility and approach to disabilities from other football fans, not necessarily even staff and stewards, but other football fans themselves?
Very much so, yeah. I mean, obviously, a big drastic improvement has definitely happened. I find going to games maybe a bit easier now than I did 10, 15, 20 years ago, because I've been doing this such a long time now, although I do actually feel really old. But I think that's probably supporting Sunderland and Hibs sort of, it makes you feel old because of the stress.
Yeah.
but yeah, I've been doing this from about 15, 16 now, and then I'm 37, so really 20 years really. So, and I don't plan on stopping anytime soon. You meet some really nice people around, you know, I certainly have around the country, and Swansea, for example, this weekend on Saturday in Wales. I think, you know, I'm really looking forward to that. and meeting people that I've met already down there. So I can't wait, and I would never stop travelling.
Okay, yeah, so just to finish then, Macca, do you have a kind of final wish that you have that football clubs could improve on or could change to continue to support blind and partially sighted people to attend our matches? Is there anything generally that can continue to improve, if it's not already, to maybe encourage more and more blind and partially sighted people to attend matches in person?
I wish the clubs would maybe engage with like charities like R&IB a lot more. Because I do think they could benefit a lot from that. But as I said, at the moment, I don't think it's impossible for people to go out and support their team. Even if, like you say, if it's just their local team at the moment, I don't think that's impossible. But I do think, you know, more dialogue between clubs and, you know, charities like R&IB would be helpful going forward.
Nice one. Well, yeah, thank you very much, Macca, for sharing your story. Obviously, people have heard your voice on the podcast before and know roughly kind of the teams you support and the journeys that you make every week. But it's really nice to hear some of the challenges that you faced, but actually just the positive experience that you've had of being a live match at Gore, a football attendee supporter. And I think it's just a great, similar to John that we had on before, just a real positive message of that football accessible and can be achieved, that you can go out and take those first steps and start attending live matches. So thanks very much, Macca, for sharing your story.
Not a problem. Thank you very much for having me, and thank you very much to everyone for listening.